telling you he's about to have an EpiPen injection. He sounded pretty good to me, though, but he said he didn't think he'd be able to preach, and that I would I be willing to come up with something. So I did. I happen to have something that few of you in here have heard already, because I used it at a men's group a year or so ago. But it was pretty good then, and I figured it is. Can you guys hear me?
At least you need the mic.
Yeah.
I need the mic.
Turn it on.
Oh, my. Turn it on. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hey. All right, I don't know if I can hold this and talk at the same time, but we'll give it a shot. All right. So, not a lot of notice, I couldn't memorize this, so I'm going to be reading some of it. I apologize for that. I know it's going to sound kind of, it could sound interesting, but anyway, so, the title is Jesus Over My Pain, or Our Pain, whichever you want to put it. I asked Jeff, could you read Colossians 1, 15 through 20?
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven.
Which I had just turned in, but that's not our main verse. I'm going to be bringing that up in a little bit here. But did you all absorb that? Take note of the so that. Just remember that so that. Can you say that?
So that.
All right. All right. So, important truths about sin. Only Jesus doesn't exempt us from pain. Okay? So, I'm going to read it. All right. Do we live in alignment with Jesus is over all? Can we think about our pain, our hurt? Can we invite Jesus into our pain? What does it mean, look like? What does it look like, particularly speaking, to live a life where Jesus is over my pain? We're going to be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not going to read from it right away, but just have that ready. Okay. Important truths about our pain. Following Jesus doesn't exempt us from pain. Did you know that? Some people don't know that. Despite what many might tell us, maintenance-free is a lie. It does not exempt us from pain and suffering. In some ways, following Jesus actually introduces a unique kind of pain into our lives. In John 16:33, you don't have to turn to that, but I'll read it in just one verse. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. This is Jesus saying this, okay? So, in me is peace, in Jesus. In this life, there will be pain. Kind of seems contradictory, right? So why do we follow Jesus? We don't follow Jesus because he makes life better. We follow Jesus because he's better than life. We have pain in life, but in Jesus, we have love and redemption. What that means, every one of us is either season of pain, coming out of a season of pain. B, beginning or entering into a season of pain. Or we're awaiting a season of pain. Doesn't sound very positive, does it? And for every one of us, there are seasons of pain that still delay us. We all know about that. Not a popular thing to say, but it's true. Two, it is not pain that we hate. Did you know that? We don't hate pain. Everyone here, would you take a hammer and hit your thumb if I told you to? No, you don't like pain. But if I told you you took a hammer and hit your thumb, you'd get $1 million. Some amount of the pain wouldn't be so bad. If you think about this, a lot of times we endure and will even volunteer ourselves for pain. Are you going crazy? If you doubt this, has anyone in here ever done CrossFit? Anyone even know what CrossFit is in here? Yes. What are you doing anyway? Why do CrossFit? You're paying someone to put you into pain. Right? And have you ever done a burpee? Anyone here know what a burpee is? Okay. A burpee is pain, yes, it's pain. It's a terrible experience. I've done them, or I attempted to do them. I do not recommend it to anyone, okay? It's basically, you jump up, and then you hit the ground, and you do a push-up, and then you, I forgot what else you do. Then somehow you get back up. Now, you gotta understand, I was in an exercise group, and old ladies were doing these things better than I could. I say old ladies, older than me. But there's plenty of young people in there, and they're just like, they just snap back up, and they're up in the air again, and back down again. And I'm down there, and I'm crawling back up again, okay? I can't even get back up. I have to crawl up, and they grab my knees, and then come back up. One of those was all the workout I needed. We had to do 50, 100, 150 of these things. Oh, my gosh, it was ridiculous. Okay, so. Why do we do it? Hundreds of them. Because this is the purpose behind you. There is a purpose behind your pain. Okay? No pain, no gain, or feel the burn, right? Why? Because it's not pain we can't stand. It's pain without purpose that we can't face. How about this one? I know some of them are going to get some raising eyebrows. There's pregnancy, labor, and delivery. All right? There's a few people in here who have experienced that. And many of the guys put their hands up, I'm going to ask questions. But you were there, some of you. I understand the first trimester is summed up in nausea and tired. The second trimester is tired. The third trimester is ballooned, can't breathe, where's the bathroom? But 1 hour after delivery, looking into the eyes of your newborn and the wonder of that life, worth it, right? Some subject themselves to multiple times in this. That's strange. Thank God. If we only did it once, then our population would dwindle. Worth it. Again, it is not pain, but pain without purpose we cannot take. But the irony of pain and suffering can be one of the primary reasons people have lost their faith. But also, pain and suffering can be one of the primary reasons people have come to and find their faith. So it is not the pain that is the problem. It is how we interact with the pain, how we see our pain, the purpose. God has a purpose in our pain. Here are three of them. Let me add a caveat, though. Before I speak about these, I admit I have a bit of turmoil and anxiety and tension in my mind and in my heart. On one hand, I'm fully aware that there are many in our church family right now who are in the midst of pain, serious pain. I am fully aware that a 40-minute talk with three bullet points on what God says about pain isn't nearly enough to address the complexities, the frustrations, the confusion, the you face in your pain. I also am aware that anything I am going to say is going to run the risk of sounding overly simplistic. I know that is true. Sorry, I'm reading this, but this is my heart speaking. And on the other hand, and here is where the tension comes in, I am firmly convinced that the purpose that God gives us in the scriptures are not heartwarming things. They're sturdy, and they are reliable, and they are eternal truths. And I know I know that is the case. I believe that with all my heart. So there is a tension, I want you to know, with my goal and my prayer. My goal and prayer is I do not want to come in here like a bull in a china shop. I don't want to come in here swinging a Bible and saying, here is what the Bible says, and I don't care about how you feel. Because that is not true, not true at all. Having said that, I think if we all are willing to hear, willing to open our hearts, there are real purposes God has in our lives for pain. Okay. Here are three I want you to look together for a moment. God's purpose in our pain. One, God uses pain to bring us to Him. Two, God uses pain to make us more like Him. And three, God uses our pain to bring others to Him. I think if we were willing to allow God into the place of our pain, that God can accomplish these purposes through our pain. Let's think about these together. First, God uses our pain to bring us to Him. Okay, now turn to very sugar there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. It's all right. If you're all there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the troubles, afflictions we experienced in Asia. This is Paul writing. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death. This is Paul writing that, okay? Honestly, we don't actually know what Paul is going through, but notice the words. Just let that set in a little bit. Look at how he describes what they were facing. We were under great pressure, beyond our ability to endure. It was more than we could handle. How bad was it? We despaired for our life itself. Okay? You guys ever been through something that was so hard that you despaired of life itself? That is that. We felt like we received the sentence of death. We didn't know if we were going to make it. Now again, we don't know what Paul was going through. But if we have ever studied the life of the Apostle Paul, I think it is safe to say that the Apostle Paul was no stranger to pain. He was a man who knew pain of all varieties and all shapes. And here he was saying this one was beyond anything he could handle. Remember, Paul was stoned once and left for dead. He was whipped. He was imprisoned. He had a lot of pain. A lot of pain. Just walking the streets had to be painful. And he walked all the way. Well, he didn't walk all the way to Rome. He took a boat. But still, he got bitten by a deadly viper. But he didn't die. Yet, I want you to zoom in. I really appreciate that Paul said it was more than he could take. It was beyond what he could stand. Let me tell you why I appreciate Paul said this. Have you ever had a well-intentioned Christian look at you? Hey, God will never give you more than you can handle. Right? Maybe you were the one who said that to somebody else. Isn't it interesting that Paul seems to be saying the opposite? Paul is saying God gave us way more than we could handle, far more than we could endure. It was way beyond our capacity, right? But then notice that Paul says next. But this happened, so that's going to be the next verse. Didn't have to read that. read 8 and 9. 8 and 9, the beginning of 9. Okay, you guys got 9? Yes, good. You have it up. Yes, sorry. Should have that prepared ahead of time. But. Okay. But then notice what Paul says. But this happens so that, there's a so that again. Maybe, but that. Okay, so, but, so that, was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Okay? These are very important words. Please highlight, underline, circle those words, too. So, the so that or but that, whatever is in your translation. Why are those so important words? These indicate there is a purpose. The Apostle Paul is trying to help us to make a connection. He says, this happens, that happened for a reason, there is a purpose. God has a purpose. And what was the purpose? Well, he says, so that we might not rely on ourselves, but rely on God who raises the dead. That's what we just read. Okay. Paul is showing us all suffering is meant to awaken and increase our reliance upon God. All suffering is introduced into our life and is allowed so that it can awaken and increase our dependency on God. Paul is saying that God will sometimes give you more than you can handle. Sometimes he will, because it will draw you to a place of reliance on him. He will bring you to the end of yourself to realize that he is what you truly need. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Problem of Pain, we can ignore even pleasure. But pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to our consciousness, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. C.S. Lewis. I can tell you that I find that to be so true, that God has a way to use pain more than anything else to grab our attention, cause us to see our great need for you. This is something you will see throughout the Bible. This is not some one-off. You're going to see it other places. So, practically speaking, what does it mean? Well, it means a bunch of things. God will allow pain you cannot endure to awaken and teach you to depend on him. The whole book of Job. God may allow a struggle you can't conquer to awaken you to the sufficiency of his grace. Paul in his issues, remember where he says he struggled, he couldn't overcome, he called it a thorn in the flesh. What did God say? God responded to him, to his three pleas, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes God may call you to something greater than you. Ability to teach you to rely on his power, like Moses. In Exodus, he said, God gave Moses a task, and he says, I can't do that. And God says, I know you can't. I will be with you. Or God may allow relationship pain in your life so that you learn to depend on him. God may allow a strange relationship, a difficult person in your life, to teach you more about him and about his love. God may withhold something you desire to show you that he is enough to fulfill the deepest desires of your heart. And the list could go on and on, and I'm sure you could give me some that I haven't thought of. Here's what I want you to see in the words of the Apostle Paul that you see here in 2 Corinthians 1. They dare us to believe that our greatest place of pain could potentially be our greatest place of experience. We encounter God in a way that we never have before. That is what this is causing us to believe. People will do one of two things when an unimaginable loss, unspeakable tragedy, unthinkable despair comes upon them. They will either, in the midst of pain, they will run to God, or they will, in the midst of pain, will run from God. If you're in a place right now where you are experiencing real pain, Maybe the pain is ringing in so loud in your ears, it's really hard for you to hear anything I'm saying. If that is the case, then I can tell you, if you hear nothing else, just this one thing, after that, okay, but just listen to this. God wants to meet you in your pain. He wants to, and if you want to have ears, and if you would have ears to hear and lean into it, so my encouragement to you is not to run away from God in your pain, but to run to Him. To run to Him, to run to His people, not away from His people. It does not mean you need to put on a fake face. It doesn't mean you have to pretend everything is fine. It does not mean you can't be honest with God or honest with others about your frustrations, the difficulties, or the challenges that are facing you. None of these things. It just means, rather, that running away from God with those things, that you run, don't run away from, but run to Him with those things. That would be my encouragement for you. There is a purpose that God has in pain. The first thing that God uses our pain to bring us to Him. The second is God wants to use our pain to make us like Him. Anyway, now I keep getting more. Not just to bring us to Him, but to refine us and to change us to look like Him. It is not directly in the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but I'll tell you what's interesting. Look what the Bible teaches us about pain, you're going to see some very consistent things. Let me just show you three. Okay, I probably should have had, put this up. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of pain of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Okay, so that was James. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And then in Romans, so that was Peter, and then Paul says in Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that we might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Note, three passages from the Bible, three different authors. Do you note the similarity in what they're saying about our pain? James says, "We should consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds." Peter says, "In this you can greatly rejoice." Paul says, "There's something good that is coming out of this." Why? Is it because we are masochists? That we love pain? No. It's because there's a purpose behind it. Remember what I said before? We don't dislike pain. We dislike pain that has no purpose. For you notice in all three of these verses, you notice the words that they use to describe the purpose that God allows. James says pain produces something. Pain is working out something. It's finishing something. Peter says that our pain is proving something. It's refining something. And Paul says that God is working in that. So what? To what end? To conform us to the image of His Son. That God has purpose in pain. One is to draw us to Him. But here God wants to use our pain to make us more like Him. Refine our character, that we look like, act like, think like, and are motivated more like Jesus. And notice something else. So cool. Did you notice in all these passages, James, when we face trials of many kinds, Peter, all kinds of trials, Paul, God is going to work all out all things all things. All three passages are saying there's no category or no variety of pain in our lives that God cannot use for our good and for His glory. All pain. What this challenges us to believe is that no matter what kind of pain you face, that God can use that pain to redeem, that is, refine for us in His purpose. No matter what loss, no matter the abuse, no matter the neglect, no matter the mental illness or struggles, no matter the addictions, no matter the emotional issues, no matter the relationships that you don't have, or the child you don't have, or the community you don't have, no matter the variety of pain, even if it's church pain, no matter how that pastor or how that priest hurt you, or no matter how that community hurt you, that make it even hard for you to be sitting here today. God can use all of that. God can even use self-inflicted pain, failure, or regret. This is daring us to believe that God uses all of it. He does not waste pain. Like the way Jerry Bridges said in his book, Transforming Grace, God never allows pain without a purpose in the lives of His children. He never allows Satan, nor circumstances, nor any ill-attended person to inflict us unless He uses that infliction for our good. Good never wastes. God never wastes pain. He always causes it to work together for our ultimate good, the good of conforming us to more of His likeness of His Son. So He doesn't give us the pain, but He uses it. Those words are directed to us in Romans chapter 8. And we see the Bible is going to tell us there's so much mystery about pain. We're not going to understand all and everything. But the Bible is helping us to see and we can understand something. That God wants to use our pain to draw us to Him. That God wants to use our pain to make us more like Him. And now the third, God wants to redeem our pain so that we can help bring others to Him. I want you to notice that Paul says in verse 3 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, praise be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles, so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from Him. So that was in the same chapter a little earlier. We had read 8 and 9, this was 3 and 4. So that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves have. Now let me say, for many of us, we should have read differently. We wish it said, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all protection, who helps us from all kinds of trouble, and keeps us from all kinds of trouble. Not what he says. Paul says, who is the God of all comforts, and He comforts us in our times of trouble. I kind of wish that they had used a different word than comfort. Because when we hear the word comfort, we think of soothing and calming or quiet, someone down, quieting down a little bit. But the word that is actually here, used here, is a Greek word, parakaleo, or paraklesis, or paralytos, which is masculine. The word means to come to one's side, encourage, exhort. It actually was a military term. Where it says comfort, it's actually come beside. And so if you were in a battle and you were being overcome, you would call in for backups. That was paraklesis. You would call in for support. You would call in for aid and for someone with resources. And that's the word Paul uses. He says, this is the God who is going to come to us and lead us uniquely in those places, in our place of pain. But then look at what Paul says next. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with our comfort we ourselves receive from God. So we can back up others with the backup God gives. We can encourage others with the encouragement God gave us. there are those words again, so that we can comfort. Purpose, we can comfort those. There's another purpose for pain. The comfort that God gives us, he says that actually, that your pain is actually something that uniquely qualifies you to minister and to reach other people who are experiencing something similar, maybe what you were experiencing. I love what Billy Graham said, God doesn't comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. He conforms us so we can give the comfort that we experience in our lives to others. And has anyone been through that before? Kind of going off script here, but where you had something happen in your life, and then after you've gone through it, or you find someone else who's going through something very similar, and you can actually turn to them and they believe you, you know?
I remember when I was in the hospital, right before I had my four-way bypass, one of the welders came in, opened his shirt up, showed me his, he'd had two, and that helped.
I don't think that I believe, you know, somebody else got through this, I didn't get through it. When we were in the hospital after Joshua had his accident, there was a young man who fell off of a cliff and landed on his feet. And he had basically just shattered his legs and his pelvis and everything. And they weren't sure he was going to be able to walk. But his family was right there. And then there was another family where an Amish guy fell off a roof and broke his neck. And we spent weeks with these people in the waiting room. And we comforted each other. And then when I was all settled and then Josh was fine and everything, a couple years later, I'm in this exercise group I mentioned before. And this one guy disappeared. And I just happened to notice on Facebook that his son had fallen off of a, he was trying to jump over from one cliff to another somewhere in, I forget, Hawking Hills. And he fell. And he had a horrible head injury and some other injuries. So I reached out to him. I didn't even know him that well. And his wife, and it turned out that she, there was a long period there. You may know him, his name was, the boy's name was Jake. I can't remember the last name there. But they lived in Medina, and they got together a lot of prayer partnering and everything. And I was able to minister to this guy and to his wife on Facebook and so forth. And I visited Jake. And I said, you know, I'm not going to tell you I know what you're feeling because my son was hit by a car, your son was hit by a rock on his way down. But he'll make it. And he did make it. And he's doing pretty good now. And his father just got baptized about 4 months ago. I wasn't aware. I knew his wife was saved. I assumed he would, but he wasn't at the time. But in through all that, he got baptized. So he's, I'm not saying I did that in all the way. And, what they had to go through, I don't know if I could have gone through. Their son had brain damage. Joshua didn't have any brain damage. He was already in brain damage before the accident. But the point being is that we're there to help each other. Anyway, so Paul is trying to show us, listen, your greatest point of pain, if you dare to believe it, your greatest point of pain can become your greatest place of ministry.